If you're like most attorneys, you didn't spend all that time and money on a law education just to end up slaving away to make someone else rich. You dreamed of an amazing lifestyle full of freedom and tons of income, and you've wondered where to go to learn how to make it happen. Welcome to Lawpreneur Radio, the podcast that shows you how to hang out your shingle. Here's your host, Miranda McCroskey.
Hi, welcome to Lawpreneur Radio. This is Miranda McCroskey of McCroskey Legal. I'm a practicing criminal defense attorney in Orange County, California. I've been a lawpreneur for the past 10 years, and I am the proud host of Lawpreneur Radio. Today's episode is sponsored by Hankent Patent Law. They protect what you have in mind. You can contact them at www.hankin.com. Today's guest is Lori Eber. Lori practiced law for 23 years and is now a trained wellness coach who helps stressed out professionals lead healthier, happier lives. Lori, I'm glad you're here today.
Nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Miranda.
You're welcome. Lori, tell us about yourself. That was a short introduction, but I want to hear about your journey. I want to hear about how you got here helping stressed out professionals lead healthier, happier lives.
I'm evolving.
Evolving's good.
Yes, for a long time. I retired at age 49 with not one clue as to what I was going to do for the rest of my life, other than I remember saying in my see you later guys email, I don't think I'll be at home baking cookies.
And you retired from law practice?
Yeah, I was a corporate litigator for 23 years.
Wow.
I worked for a big law firm up in the Bay Area. And then for the last 6 years of my tenure, I opened and ran their Orange County office. And then I decided, been there, done that, and I liked my new husband, and I thought it would be good to get to know him.
I like that idea. Now, this is so juicy to me. Just tell me about that last email or letter or whatever it is you wrote when you said goodbye. How did that feel?
It felt very freeing. Mm-hmm. I was accused by many of being someone who would be back. They didn't know me very well, but what I saw was there were many male partners who were extremely jealous because they had kids in Ivy League schools and stay-at-home wives, and they were not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I had purposefully not had any children because I didn't want to feel guilty at home and at work.
Mm, you know that.
And I saved my pennies, and I just decided I'm tired of being stressed out all the time. There may be some other parts to Lori Eber that I haven't found yet, and boy, was I right. And it's been wonderful discovering who I am after I had sort of come to Jesus meeting with myself, trying to get my head around who am I if I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, right?
I needed a shrink, and that's the advice I give people.
Is get a shrink.
Get a shrink, yes.
Yeah. One of our guests the other day, Kati Ghost. Oh, goodness gracious, I shouldn't have even tried. Anyway, she said that it was a similar, she left law to be a personal branding expert, and there's a whole identity thing about being a lawyer, so that's really interesting.
There is, because I was a total workaholic. That's all I did.
Okay.
So well, it was quite scary for a while. I do remember distinctly the first day I woke up and I said to myself, oh my God, I have nothing to do.
Yeah. What do you do when you have nothing to do?
You panic. My husband persuaded me to take golf lessons, and that turned out to be worse than practicing law when I didn't want to practice law anymore. And law was a great career for me.
Yeah.
I was just done with it.
Right? Done is done. Like you,
Yeah. Moving on.
And did it take, were you done like in a day or did you think about it for 3 years?
No, it crept up.
Yeah.
It crept up and the process accelerated after I remarried and decided, you know, what's going to bring me more happiness in life? Having a good marriage with a husband who adores me or continuing to work 12 hours a day? And that was kind of an easy call.
I got it. Okay, I totally derailed you from your notes.
That's okay.
Lori's still an attorney at heart.
So I'd rather talk. What I did was I went back to school, and I went back to school online because there was no way I was going to deal with 18-year-olds in a campus. There was no way.
Okay.
So I studied gerontology at Coastline Community College, and I got a certificate. Wanted to learn about aging because of an experience I had moving my dad into an assisted living out in California from New York City, where he lived at the time. I found the whole elder care arena to be extremely confusing and hard to negotiate. And I thought, I know the aging demographic. There must be a way to earn a living here. So I got my gerontology certificate. I started volunteering at an elder care nonprofit, which is a good way to get a job, by the way, which is exactly what happened. Then I started teaching at Coastline. It was kind of like I completed the program one semester. Next semester, I was on staff teaching the thing.
Well, they can see good blood when they see
guess.
It.
I guess. So I did that for 6 years, and then I couldn't deal with the wacko nonprofit mentality anymore because, basically, I'm a business person, and I did not understand how they ran things. Mm-hmm. So then, because I had sort of gotten into teaching and creating curriculum, because I was running a continuing education program for them, for professionals who service elder care people, elder care issues, I decided, oh, I could do this on my own. So I decided I'd be a keynote speaker.
Why not?
Why not? Exactly. So I did that for a while and was actually fairly successful at it because I found out that if I'm not in court, if it's my courtroom, I love talking and you can't get the mic away from me. When I had to go to court, I hated it because I didn't know what they were going to ask me or whether I'd have an answer. So I was shocked by that. And I found out it can be a lot of fun and I'm just very comfortable. And I thought, well, there's a skill I didn't know I had. So I did that for a while, and then I decided, well, there's no point in doing this because I'm never seeing my husband because I'm traveling all the time, so that's kind of not helping any. So then I found that I actually can write creatively, which was another shock because that's not like the stilted legal writing that we're all taught and I could do very well. But I found there was a creative part of my brain that I could sit down and write stuff and say, wow, that's not too bad. So I started blogging a lot. I started to get more from elder care into boomer stuff because I found elder care to be too depressing and nobody wanted to hear about it. And I thought, boomers, they're my people.
Uh-huh.
So I got on a lot of boomer blogs and did a lot of social networking and ended up, I was on Marketplace Radio a couple times talking about boomer issues. And I was in the Register a couple times. And that was fun, but, you know, really hard way to earn a living. So that wasn't happening. So then I thought, well, health and wellness has always been kind of my avocation, and everybody's always asking me questions, so maybe I should do that. So I went back to school and got certified as a personal trainer and looked around the gym and thought, zero job satisfaction in this career, moving on. Mm-hmm. So then I found wellness coaching by accident, looking on the internet to figure out why some people are motivated to stay healthy and most people are not, and how you can motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
And so back to school, took a 6-month training program, hung out my shingles, started seeing clients immediately, very much not like Lori. I'm all about, you know, I got to practice. I just felt very, very comfortable. It's sort of part shrink and part all the stuff I know about health and wellness that I care about and read about. I'm a wacko. I go to the gym 7 days a week and I eat really healthy, and it's always been a big focus, and that's what kept me sane when I was practicing law, really, was the exercise outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one thing that occurred to me is, boy, do I know stress, and boy, do I know that that can derail your health and wellness plans big time. I would see people come into the law firm who I'd hire, and they would look very fit, and in 5 years... they would look terrible.
Right.
It was appalling.
They drive a desk. They never move.
They go home and they drink a bottle of wine. I thought, I understood. I just chose not to go that route. I wasn't that smart. I just chose a different path and turned out to be better. So anyway, it's great. I think I finally did find my passion in life. And it only took 58 years.
Hey, it doesn't matter when it comes.
It doesn't matter. It's a journey.
It's a total journey. I married when I was 36. And for all the years before that, it was like, boo-hoo-hoo, where's my husband? What's the matter with me? And then I found him. And I'm like, oh, it didn't matter when it came. It just needed to be him.
Yes,
you know?
Found the right guy.
Yeah,
that's everything.
Yeah.
I did, too. I was shocked. I actually found my soulmate. And the interesting thing was, I do not believe in that concept at all. I'm a pros and cons, and everybody's a mixed bag. And then I met this guy, and it was like, he's a guy. I know it.
There you go.
We got married in 6 weeks. It was totally insane.
Shut up. That's great.
Really. It was great. And we've been married 10 years, and it's everything.
Awesome. I'm getting signaled over here that I got to move. That's awesome. That's great to hear. Okay, listen, entrepreneurs fail fast so they can succeed faster. So tell me about some failure that you've gone through that has you be the successful entrepreneur that you are.
Let me count the ways. I have fallen many, many times, and I continue to do so. Marketing equals failure, by and large. I've had lots of good ideas. Many didn't work. One was being romanticized into believing that the internet would magically bring business
to
me.
Right, you can buy your clients off the internet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That they'll find you in some magical mm-hmm. fashion and the phone will be ringing off the hook. And mm-hmm. what I realize now from having done it for, 8 years maybe, is that you absolutely have to have a website if you have a business, or you don't have a business, because the first thing people want to know is, so, can I look at your website?
Of course they do. Mm-hmm.
And you got a social network to get your name out there so people can find you, but the business is not rolling in through the internet. I really believe that in-person networking is really the way to go, and especially if you provide a personal service where people generally find you based on recommendations. You know, it's like you don't look at the Yellow Pages, you don't look at the internet to find someone. So it's word of mouth, and unfortunately, most businesses that provide services like we do, things move pretty slowly because you're waiting for that client to refer you to someone else kind of thing. So relying on the internet as, a big source was a big mistake. I wrote a book. I thought that would turn into something big. Yeah, it turned into me buying a bunch of books and giving them away. I hear it's a good book, but it's, there are 20 bazillion books out there now.
Is that the Boomer's Aging Beats the Alternative, A Sense of Humor Helps
book?
It
is.
All right, that book is going to be on Lori's show note page and also on the Lawpreneur Library page, so make sure you check it out. And I'm going to stop for a second, Lori, and do a word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk about something good. This show's episode is brought to you by Henken Patent Law. As a small firm, Henken Patent Law can provide each and every client with a high degree of personal service. Mark Henken personally visits clients at their location, asking the right questions to understand their needs and goals. This enables him to develop an intellectual property protection strategy that's comprehensive, rational, and cost-effective. For more information about how Mark Henken and his associates can protect what you have in mind, contact Henken Patent Law at www.hankin.com for a complimentary initial telephone consultation. And I'd like to add that I have hired Mark Henken to do my trademark work in regard to Lawpreneur Radio, and he really is the best.
This is John Lee Dumas, the host of Entrepreneur on Fire, and you're listening to Lawpreneur Radio's Miranda McCroskey. Interview lawpreneurs or the vendors who support them.
Hi, welcome back to Lawpreneur Radio. We're on with Lori Eber. Before the break, we talked about how romanticizing the idea of the internet bringing you clients was not a good idea, could lead to a failure of sorts. And now she's going to tell us about a success that she's experienced. Tell us something good.
Something good. Lots good. I am experiencing tremendous satisfaction coaching people and helping them change their lifestyle habits. It really can make a huge difference. They have to do the heavy lifting, but I am very good at providing accountability, and I think I'm sort of just the right amount of scary, which seems to work. I'm telling you, you never lose the legal training somehow. And unfortunately, people still come up to me and they think I'm a lawyer, and I'm like, I'm not a lawyer.
Damn it.
I'm a wellness coach. Can't you tell? Not really. one of the clients that I have recently that I really feel good about is I have a young man who had a very severe bout of colon cancer and, in fact, had surgery and had a lot of intestines removed. And he was a guy who used to play sports in college and high school, and then he was sort of in shape, and then he sort of fell off the wagon because he has a very demanding job, and he just stopped working out and gained weight and felt terrible about himself. And took the opportunity to see this as a wake-up call, and he came to me and made huge changes in his diet and is getting to the gym and is feeling good about himself, and he understands that this is a really important part of keeping the colon cancer at bay. And I felt great about helping him. And something kind of interesting, when I started off as a wellness coach, I assumed, you know, boomer women, stressed out professionals, mm-hmm. people like me would be my clients. In fact, I'm getting every kind of person there is, which is great because everybody's really different and it's a lot of variety and I adjust. And it's mostly women, but I love having men too because I can be meaner to them, which is more fun. You know, everyone needs a different approach. I'm tremendously empathetic and non-judgmental. But, you know, you have to help people work through things. And you have to be supportive and understanding. If they fall off the road, you know what? It's not going to kill you. I tell them you got the rest of your life to be healthy.
That's true.
And,
they do.
And what happens, what I see with people, and one of my big challenges is people have sort of two modes they are in about their health. One is they totally ignore it, they don't move their body, and they eat junk. That's most people most of the time. Then once in a while, they get totally disgusted with themselves, and they go into diet and exercise mode. Mm-hmm. And then they eat what Nutrisystem sends them and nothing else. Mm-hmm. Cardboard is really good with 25 ingredients. And then they go to the gym and hire a personal trainer. And this lasts for a while. And then they rebel against themselves because they're not living in the real world. Mm-hmm. So they only know these modes, and I'm trying to teach them how to live in the real world with all the temptations, which lead you to be fat and lazy, basically. Because there's cheap food everywhere, and it's highly processed, and people sit at desk jobs most of the day typing.
Yeah.
So to teach people how to deal with the real world and choose better options, it's a new concept to mm-hmm. most people, but you know what? It really works. And it's the only way. I mean, you got to live in the real world. You cannot live in the diet world.
Yeah. And to value health over convenience.
Yes.
They have to do that. My family, we're paleo, and we only eat out at basically the Outback Steakhouse and Chipotle. Those are the ones we've chosen that we know we can get what we need. And we don't do that very often.
Yeah.
And so we're choosing health over convenience a lot. And the groceries are more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's better than being fat and lazy.
Yeah, it's all about planning and strategizing.
It is.
If you plan to be healthy, you will. If you have no plan, you will not be, because the world is going to conspire to have you make bad choices because they're everywhere and most people are doing them.
So I think as you say that, I'm thinking about money, too. If you plan to be wealthy, you will be. If you don't, everything you said, and the
right.
bad choices and the world conspiring against you. Yeah, that's good. That's great. Well, you've talked about your current business somewhat in your successes, but now take a few minutes and tell us more. Tell us about some clients and what you have them do.
Okay. What I do is I have a 12-week coaching program, which is 12 hours of coaching, about an hour a week. The length varies a little bit. And during the first session, we set goals, 3-month goals and a vision, and then we break it down into weekly goals, which are what we business people usually call SMART goals, mm-hmm. which means so specific there's no way you can wiggle out of them without Laurie knowing. So that's what they do. And then every week when they come back, I have their goals all typed up. Like I said, I'm an anal lawyer. I have this presentation folder where they have all these forms. I mean, I couldn't help myself. Just doesn't leave, like I said. And every week we check and see how they did on their goals, you know, what percentage completion. Sometimes we find out it sounded like a good idea at the time and didn't work at all. So mm-hmm. we go to plan B. And we talk about, you know, do you want to continue to work on those goals that you set last week? Are you ready to move on to some other ones? What would you like to do? And they drive the train, but we strategize together and I give them a lot of suggestions from my own experience and from my clients' experiences. And we sort of work through it, and so that's kind of the way it works. And then a lot of people, if they have a lot of weight they want to lose or something that's not going to happen overnight, because I tell them, don't lose more than a pound or two a week. It's coming right back on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
mm-hmm.
even go there. So a lot of them will continue with, you know, more stretched out sessions, like, you know, once every 2 weeks or once every month for a while, whatever they would like to do. So that's generally what I do. It's a 12-week program because I'm convinced that short of 12 weeks, you haven't really practiced enough to have, you know, set new behavior patterns and new habits, nor do you have the skills to know how to continue to do it on your own.
Yeah, I agree. 90 days is a good number.
Yeah.
Do you find that some people love to set those goals? Like me, I'm like wanting to set goals on your program and I'm not even doing your program. And other people are like, what's a goal? I don't want to do goals.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And some people are perfectionists. Imagine that. And so, you know, if I say to them, so how did you do with your goal? Well, I'll give myself 80%. And then I listen to what they say about the goal and I say, sorry, I'm giving you 100.
They don't want to
be perfect. But I tell them, you know, health is not about perfection. You don't need to be healthy. And in fact, what I see is when they start paying attention to their diet, they want to go into diet mode because that's a behavior they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell them, would you please be a little bad?
Mm-hmm.
Please be a little bad. You know, have a dessert once in a while. Don't deprive yourself of everything. Food should be an enjoyable part of life. It's just find a way to moderate it, whatever works for you. And everybody's got their little techniques. And, you know, a quick and easy example is you go out to eat. Every restaurant portion, we all know, is at least two sizes too big. And so I say, ask for the takeout box immediately. Put half of it in your takeout box. You can still clean your plate and your mother will be happy. And you have another good meal to look forward to later. That's a pretty simple thing that if you do consistently will make a huge difference. And you will get used to eating smaller portions and find out you didn't need to eat that much food. Uh-huh. You were just eating it because they delivered it to the table.
Right.
You know, if you don't want to eat the bread, say, please don't bring the bread basket. Because if I see it, smell it, touch it, I'm eating it.
Right.
When you go to the grocery store, don't put stuff in your cart that you don't want to eat. If it hops in your cart, you're going to eat it, right? If it's not in your house, you're probably too lazy to go get it. And, the need will pass.
Those are all excellent tips. I hope everybody was paying attention. Anything else you want to say about what's on your desk?
One other thing. I'm running a series of hour and a half Friday morning boot camps right now.
Cool.
I just had the first one about debunking nutrition myths and diets. And I have one this Friday, July 18th from 8 to 9:30 about how to fit exercise into your busy life. The next Friday is about how to lose weight for good. And on August 1st, I'm talking about how to get your stress under control.
Awesome. All of these dates and information and everything else will be on Lori's show note page at lawpreneurradio.com/Lori, L-O-R-I, hyphen Eber, E-B-E-R. So you can get all that information there. And we're not done. I just wanted to say that while it was there to be said. Tell me about some of your favorite resources.
This is sort of ironic. Yelp is currently my favorite resource, but I hate Yelp.
Okay.
Let me explain.
Please.
I actually had to have my web person help sign me up because, you know, it's just so easy and intuitive. They required a copy of my business license, a copy of something that proved that I was, you know, really practicing at that location. I mean, over the top like that. And so I get on it and I ask people who have experience with me, you know, legitimate people, not plants.
Mm-mm.
Would you mind writing a review? And then I find out several of them are unapproved.
Oh, okay.
And there is no appeal.
Okay.
There is no appeal to a higher judge at Yelp. They just decided they're unappealed. So the guy keeps calling me because he wants me to pay money so I can get at the top of the Yelp list. And I keep telling him I'm not doing that. So since he was on the phone, I took the opportunity to say, why did you unapprove some of these? And he gave me some weird, vague answer about, well, if somebody new was in your neighborhood, do you think you would listen to them in terms of recommendations? So apparently people who don't go to Yelp a lot and review, there's sort of no way to break in because in the beginning, they will not post your stuff because you're new.
I see.
Unreliable, supposedly.
That's a challenge,
isn't it? So it's kind of weird, but here's the good part. The other day, out of the blue, some Canadian reporter who had some question about why people don't take off time from work to de-stress, you know, what's keeping them at their desk, She emailed me and wanted me to make some comments for an article she was writing. So, of course, I asked what any good business person would ask. How did you find me?
Yep.
Well, I Googled wellness coach, just wellness coach. And I thought, really? I came up under that? That's amazing. So I did it myself. What came up was my Yelp site. So there you go. You know? And I have actually heard a lot of lawyers say they get a lot of business from Yelp, which is kind of puzzling to me.
Puzzling to me, too. But maybe we all should get our Yelp.
It's worth a try.
But only find the people who already review on Yelp to come and review you.
Correct.
That's the message. I got it.
Correct.
All right. Tell me about some books. The one you wrote, other books?
The one I wrote is kind of a fun, short airplane read, and it's just really a compilation of my blogs. But a lot of it would be interesting to lawyers because a lot of it is about my transition out of law. Mm. Not that I want to encourage anyone to do that, but sometimes the time is right. And how it felt, and just sort of funny vignettes, and trying to deal with social networking, which I never had to deal with that much, and stories about my family and stuff like that.
And again, that's Boomers, : Aging Beats the Alternative, and A Sense of Humor Helps, and you'll see it on Lori's show note page and on our Lawpreneur Library page.
And I read a lot of books that have to do with my wellness business and how I can help clients better. And the current one I'm reading is called Eating with Fierce Kindness by Sasha Loring. And it's about the fact that a lot of people have a strange and bad relationship with food, and they've had that for a long time. And in order to get food into its proper place in your life, you first have to decide that you love yourself and that you're compassionate when you fail and not be so judgmental about yourself and not expect perfection. It's kind of like treat yourself the way you would your child.
That's sweet.
And I think it does make a difference because a lot of people who come to me, they hate themselves and they hate their body and they hate the fact that they feel like their eating is out of control. Mm-hmm. And if you start from that perspective, it's not a good place to be. So first you have to kind of accept yourself where you are and be compassionate with yourself. And a lot of women in particular don't want to do that. Yeah. They're very compassionate with everyone else, yeah, but they don't apply that to themselves. So this is kind of giving me some good ideas about how to help people develop that skill and start with a good mindset where they can succeed.
Awesome. And that's Eating with Fierce Kindness. You'll find that on Lori's page and on the library site or page. Okay, Lori, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
They can get a hold of me by email, eberlorie@gmail.com.
Okay, so that's last name, first name, eberlorie,
yeah,
at gmail. Okay.
My website, lorieberwellnesscoaching.com. Or my cell, which is 714-357-9946.
All right. Well, if you call Lori, mention Lawpreneur Radio, so we'll know how you found her, unless it was through Yelp, and then you can say that. This is Miranda McCroskey at McCroskey Legal. You can find me at my website, www.mccroskeylegal.com, or here at lawpreneurradio.com. Let's see. I've told you to check the resource page and Lori's page. And if you go to how to subscribe, it'll tell you how to subscribe to the podcast and the newsletter and all the rest. So catch you next time on Lawpreneur Radio.
You've shown that you're ready for change and are hankering to hang out your shingle. Now, take that next step and download our free guide to the 5 tools top lawpreneurs need to hang their shingle by visiting lawpreneurradio.com/tools right now. Again, that's lawpreneurradio.com/tools, and we'll see you next time on Lawpreneur Radio.